Talking Doc Golf is sponsored by the 2024 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Tournament week for the 2024 AmFam Championship kicks off June 1st with the UW Carbone's Race for Research 5K run at the University Ridge Thomas Zimmer Cross Country Course, followed by tournament play June 7th through the 9th next door at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. The multi-Grammy award-winning band Train will headline the annual Friday night concert at Bree Stevens Field on June 7th, and tickets for the event and the tournament are all on sale right now at AmFamChampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Champ has raised over $17 million for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Along with Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. Gary, just back from Madison and the AmFam Champ Media Day, the news conference featuring tournament director Nate Pokras and tournament host, defending champion Steve Stricker. Gary, I watched it on video. Looked like everybody's kind of excited for the tournament to begin. It's our last year at University Ridge. Next year, the tournament moves to TPC Wisconsin on Madison's north side. But it's exciting this year for Steve Stricker. The tournament's at the back end of a very busy stretch. I know you're writing about that for tomorrow. There's a lot of kind of moving parts of this news conference today.
Yeah, a lot of ground covered, Rob. You know, I was expecting the AmFam Championship to announce a celebrity foursome today. They did not do that. Nate Pokras told me that they're still working out some details and working out people's schedules to try to get that together. And he pointed out that usually they have this media day a little later, but Steve qualified for the PGA Championship. But that's the week they normally hold the media day. So they had to hold it a little bit earlier. So they weren't ready to announce the celebrity foursome. But other than that, they covered a lot of ground, everything from the last year at U-Ridge, moving to TPC, talked about Steve's equipment and a big stretch coming up for him with a bunch of major championships. And he's excited and ready to go.
The tournament's been very successful at University Ridge. I think I know yourself, me, Jim Kelsch, we've enjoyed covering the tournament at University Ridge. All the fans that, you know, have turned out, it's a very good location. I know that Nate talked about that. I think part of, the ability to get this tournament running right away when it was launched, in 2016, wasn't it announced at 15, played in 16, or was it announced? But anyway, I mean, it came together quickly, and it could because it really, I mean, since day one, everything associated with the championship has been done and done right.
It has been. U-Ridge has been a great partner. Nate Pokras is very good at what he does. And of course, you can't go wrong having a tournament host in Steve Stricker, and his whole family has gotten behind it. Andy North has gotten behind it. Jerry Kelly not only has gotten behind it, but he's won it twice, Rob. So there's a lot of good things that surround that tournament, and Madison, the community and the region certainly has embraced it. They get great crowds out there, and I'm hoping we see those kind of crowds when it moves to TPC Wisconsin. I think there might be, a logistical challenge or two moving it up to the north side of Madison, two-lane road getting in. The course is surrounded by a neighborhood and by a swamp, so But on the other hand, I think there's more parking close to the course, up at TPC Wisconsin. So a lot of moving parts. We're just a few weeks away from the last, AmFam Championship at U-Ridge. I know you're looking forward to it. So am I.
The, Steve Stricker stretch that we were talking about begins, this week, with, a major on the, PGA Tour Champions, with the region's tradition down in Birmingham. Steve, of course, the defending champion there. And I believe all three Wisconsin or Madison golfers in the field, Mario Tiziani, Jerry Kelly, and Steve Stricker. It hasn't been a normal year, as far as Steve on the PGA Tour champions. Typically, he would have won an event by now, if not three. And, he would be in the mix, on the Charles Schwab Cup standings. And I think he's like 14th or 15th. In fact, Jerry Kelly slid to 10th this week. We almost were without a Wisconsin golfer inside the top 10, perhaps since the inception of Wisconsin golf on the PGA Tour champions here in this modern era with Jerry and Steve on it. So it's been a slow start, but he sounded optimistic watching the news conference that better days are ahead.
He did. You know, he talked about a little equipment issue he had a few weeks ago at the Players' Championship. He noticed there was a little hairline crack in his driver, which led him obviously to change drivers. And he finally found one, he was playing a Callaway model for about 5 years. Now he's got a Titleist driver in his bag. And then he's been goofing around with his irons. He changed to a different set because his grooves were wearing down in the old set he's been using for several years. Now he's gone back to that set, Rob. So he's got a new driver and old irons in the bag. But, you know, it's a little bit of a slow start for Steve. But having said that, you know, I think he's got four top tens and five starts or something like that. So it's not like he's fallen off the map. And it's not like, you know, it would take one or two good weeks for him to be, you know, the center of conversation again.
And then, Gary, the other thing that was a change, Jim Buchheim wasn't leading the festivities today, but a good friend, Tom Lee, who cut his teeth, as we like to say, in the sports writing world, alongside some of us. He was a staff writer at the, I don't know if this is still around, BadgerBlitz.com. And then, but I remember him, you know, when he spent a few years at ESPN Madison. And of course, you know, the crew over there does just about everything it relates to sports in Wisconsin. And he's kind of, you know, moved up the ranks, Associate Vice President of Enterprise Communication at AmFan. I'm looking at his LinkedIn. A really good guy. And that's what I like about this tournament. You know, AmFam is a great local company, you know, based in Madison, Wisconsin. They've got wonderful people working for them. It, to me, this is kind of like, you know, Summerfest, the state fair. You know, you go back to every year to watch, you know, to see the AmFam championship and see old friends. And when we talk about Jim Buchheim, he's retired from his role at AmFam. He'll still be involved with the tournament, but old friends are becoming old friends, Gary. I mean, we're outliving this this tournament here 8 years in.
Yeah, it was good to see Jim in the back of the room today. He's still, as you said, he's still going to be an important part of this tournament. He's been associated with it, you know, from the beginning. And you're right, Rob. The AmFam people have been very gracious. They put on a great show with this tournament, raise a ton of money for charity, and you know what's not to like, right? It's one of the best events in the Wisconsin summer, especially in the Madison area.
Well, and then it was funny too to hear you know Lance Allen ask Steve about his time being spent with you at all these awards functions here, both at the Masters and then of course about a week ago or so at the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame induction ceremony down in Milwaukee. You know, Steve made it clear he hates that, but at the same time, you know, I think it speaks to the fact that there are no egos involved with this tournament. I mean, it is a lot of hardworking people who are all there, you know, teaming up for a cause. And again, you know, when you get good people doing good things, you're going to get what I said earlier, you know, it, having it done the right way. And that's what we've got here. But it was funny to hear. It was nice to hear Steve give you credit for lobbing the softball questions and making that Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame thing a little bit more manageable for him maybe than the deal at Augusta National when there might have been a few tears.
Yeah, you know, before we went out there for the Q&A at the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, we were standing behind the stage, just they announced, just ready to go out on the stage, and Steve turned to me and said, Gary, keep it light, all right? And he didn't want to cry. And so the first question I asked him was, you know, basically how it felt, you know, going into Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame with only three other golfers, including Andy and Sherry Steinhauer and Andy North. And I saw him tear up a little bit, and he said, Gary, I thought we were going to keep it light. But after that, he was fine. He did a great job, and it was fun. It was an honor to be up there with him. And, but when you look at all the awards he's gotten, Rob, you know, Charles Schwab Cup champion, didn't even have to play in the playoffs to win that last year. Jack Nicklaus, senior Champions Tour Player of the Year. Arnold Palmer, winner of season earnings. Byron Nelson, winner for the scoring average. GWAA Senior Player of the Year and Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. That's a mouthful, and he deserves every one of them.
I haven't looked at this lately, but the AmFam brand ambassadors. We didn't get the celebrity foursome. We know it's going to be Andy North. He's the kind of the backbone of the whole thing and keeps the show moving. But usually, you know, Derek Jeter's been there. He's a brand ambassador. Let me just run through a few of the brand ambassadors here. The Scott brothers, Drew and Jonathan, from who are the Property Brothers on HGTV. I don't know if they can play golf. You know, that would actually, my wife would show up to watch the Property Brothers play golf. I'll just say that. Kathy Ireland. Now, I know she does more with the American Family Children's Hospital. I don't know if she plays golf or not. Clearly, she would be a welcome addition. Christian Yelich is a brand ambassador, but I have a feeling he might be busy that day.
Could be.
And well, at one point JJ Watt was, and you know, they had the Watt brothers there a couple of years ago. I just can't wait to see who the celebrity foursome is. I do any speculation on your part, Gary, if we're going to see some people come back? We last year was the first year without Brett Favre. I kind of think, you know, there were a few things going on in his personal life that, maybe made that a good idea. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think is any longer associated with State Farm. So, you know, maybe, you know, his association with Andy North, but then again, he also plays for the New York Jets. I think if Jordan Love showed up swinging a golf club, the crowd would go nuts, but I don't know if we've built quite a relationship or if he's got, the golfing accoutrement to, keep it between the spectators. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into this. It's not as simple as just picking names out of a hat and say, come on, let's play as a foursome.
Yeah, Jordan Love, if he does play golf and if they could get him to Madison, that would get some huge crowds, obviously. People would love to see if he can play golf, first of all, and just to see him. You know, Jack Nicklaus came a few years ago, Rob, and I'd love to see Jack again, but we just had an item in Sweet Spot that he played Augusta National 3 days in a row after the Masters last month and shot 88, 90, and 91. And he said he can, if he kills it, he hits it 190 yards now. So I don't think we'll see Jack probably. I would love to see Jack. Lee Trevino would be great having him come back. And we've had Darius Rucker. We've had, Derek Jeter. There have been some great names. And I'm sure whoever they come up with is going to be, top shelf personalities. And I believe Kathy Ireland does play golf. I think I've seen pictures of her swinging a golf club. So she'd be great too.
Well, Michael Phelps played last year. Tom Watson was in the thing down at the Insperity last week. They had 17 legends of golf in four different groups, and that was the first time Tom Watson's played. I'd love to have Tom Watson. I remember a couple years ago, Tom played inside the ropes on the tour out at the Newport Beach tournament, and our former PGA Tour Champions media representative Chris Richards had him in for an interview. It was one of the longest transcripts in PGA Tour Champions history. He was a wealth of stories, and I know he's great friends with Andy North. And yeah. I would love to see Andy and Tom Watson and that friendship kind of, you know, brought to the front, at some point here in the next couple of years. That would be really cool. You know, Nancy Lopez played last weekend. She's always popular. Annika Sorenstam, I think, would bring people out. Sherry Steinhauer is playing again. I threw a note in Sweet Spot. She's played in a best ball scramble at the Arizona State Women's Open, Senior Open, which is a team event here. And she plans to play in the two senior women's majors and a couple other things on the Legends Tour. I think the AmFam foursome would be right up her alley. But again, I'm not sure how that would fit into that whole senior, you know, schedule. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options, and it's always a fun event. And then, of course, you know, Gary, I'm not sure how familiar you are with this group Train. Have you ever seen them in person? Have you ever listened to their music?
I've got to say, Rob, I've heard of them, but I guess I'm getting old, Rob. I've heard of them, but I couldn't name one of the songs that they sing.
Oh, you sure could, because I guarantee you can name a song once you know what the song is that you hear quite a bit.
Okay.
Drops of Jupiter is a Train song.
Oh, okay. All right. I know Drops of Jupiter. All right. I know one Train song.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to sing it. You're the karaoke guy, so we'll get you the words maybe before, before the tournament here. We'll see if you can, give us a couple lines, but, they are lead vocal, these days is Pat Monahan. I'm not sure if he's related to Jay or not, but, guitars and vocals, Taylor Locke, Hector Maldonado on bass and vocals, Jerry Becker, keyboards and guitar, and Matt Musty on the drums. They originated in San Francisco. And of course, they will be playing Friday night at Breeze Stevens Field of Tournament Week, in the annual celebrity, concert, or the annual concert at Breeze Stevens. I think another, I don't know if we ever confirmed this last year, but Steve wasn't at the concert last year and he won the tournament. First time that's happened. Cause and effect.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think the year Toby Keith, the late great Toby Keith played, I think Steve had a little too much to drink. He's admitted that night because he and Toby were good friends.
Yes.
And his performance suffered the next day. So I think he's learned to scale back a little bit. And yeah, that's the first I heard that he wasn't even at the concert last year. He really wanted to win, Rob, and he was going to do anything it took to win. You know, as he said today, he finally got the monkey off his back by winning the tournament. He's tried to win since, the first year he wasn't eligible. He wasn't 50 yet, right. But, the second year and onward, he was trying like heck to win that tournament. He finally did it.
First year, he was in the celebrity foursome. That's how young he was.
Yeah. So 49.
That was pretty cool. So, the AmFam Championship, again, coming up here, June 7th through the 9th at University Ridge Golf Course. You go over to amfamchampionship.com for tickets to the tournament, tickets to the concert. And you can learn more about the UW Carbone's Race for Research 5K run at the Thomas Zimmer Cross Country Course on June 1st, kind of kicking things off there. Boy, a lot of other things to get to. Let's start first, Gary, with big news over the weekend. Thomas Longbella of Chippewa Falls gets a victory in the Kia Open down in Ecuador on PGA Tour Americas. He's had quite a whirlwind of travel. I saw him out here trying to qualify for the Waste Management Phoenix Open, and then it was back to the developmental tours. Seven events, seven countries, three different tours, all in the last couple of months here, and it pays off with a victory yesterday after the final round was washed out by rain. Huge win for Thomas Longbella, and I think for kind of these guys who are carrying the torch on the developmental tours, because there were a lot of them. We've talked about it on Talking.Golf, a lot who have been close, and Thomas, the first to get over the hump.
Yeah, all of a sudden we've got four or five or six, you know, between men and women on developmental tours playing very, very well. And it's really, we've been waiting for this for a long time. And great to see. Really happy for Thomas. You know, class act, won the State Am by 10 shots a few years ago. And one of those guys who is not afraid to put up low numbers, which you have to do on these developmental tours. Someone is going to go low every day. So, so I was really happy to see that for Thomas. And, you know, Hunter Eichhorn's been playing well. Sam Anderson, of course, had a runner-up finish a couple weeks ago. And, Emily Lauterbach. We've got a good list of really good young players now coming up, and it's going to be fun to follow them the next couple of years.
So he becomes an exempt member of PGA Tour Americas for the rest of 24. What that does, and through the Latin America swing of next year, if he needs that. Obviously, they're trying. We'll get to the carrots at the end of the year in a minute. He goes from 33 to 4 in the Fortinet Cup standings, the top 10 finishers on that list at the end of the season, earn Korn Ferry Tour status for 2025. Beyond that, at 26 years old, a former state amateur champion. I don't know if he's won a state open yet, but I don't think he has. And, or has he? I got to look that up. But I know he's a state amateur champ from 2019. But more than that, I'm going to see what you think of this analogy. To me, somewhat the Steve Stricker of Northwest Wisconsin. He hails from Chippewa Falls, went to school at the University of Minnesota. So a kid who grew up in small town Wisconsin, went out of state for college. This victory, Gary, the amount of traffic on social media yesterday with people, and I tell you what, PGA Tour Americas, we should give a shout out to, I think his name is Greg Villalobos, from the media staff there. An amazing job of getting stuff out in photos on social media. A lot of it got retweeted by Thomas's friends up in northern Northwest Wisconsin. A very, very popular victory. And I knew it would be popular. Everybody, here in Wisconsin seems to get behind the guys who advance in their careers. But, about a year ago, Thomas came back and played at Chippewa Valley Golf Association event and maybe more than one as the schedule allowed. So he still golfs with the guys he grew up golfing with. I think that is really cool. And I think that's why he is somewhat akin to his generation. And I guess Hunter Eichhorn, you could make the same case for, you know, coming from Kearney, Michigan, as Steve Stricker, you know, back in his generation.
Yeah, all these guys, that's the thing, Rob. They're all very likable people, young men and women. And so that just makes it extra special, fun to follow their careers, to cheer them on. They all have huge followings in the state and beyond. And, you know, there's not a bad apple in the bunch. It's, they're all good quality people. And so you get excited when they play well.
And to your point, it continues a great run on the developmental tours. For some of our Wisconsin golfers, you know, Sam Anderson, I believe, is now sixth on the PGA Tour Americas after that runner-up finish a couple weeks ago. We still have George Kneiser and Harrison Ott playing on that tour. Hunter Eichhorn is number 76 on the Korn Ferry Tour points list after his T5 at the event last week down in Texas. He'll get a start next week in Missouri, and he might actually play his way onto that tour here this summer. And then there's Emily Lauterbach, who qualified for an LPGA Tour event last week on the Women's All-Pro Tour, the Annika Women's All-Pro Tour, finished T8 in Abilene, Texas as a non-member. So the members of that tour, like Tatum Beck out of Waterford, Taylor McCorkle out of Oregon, Bobby Stricker of Madison, and Mackenzie Hahn, the former Badger, can earn points top five there, get a pass into the second stage of LPGA Tour Q School. But because she has Epson status, Emily Lauterbach will get starts and may get, and hopes to get, maybe into the second stage that way. And today, as we record the podcast here on a Monday, Emily is involved in a rather tight race up at, Woodhill Country Club in Wasada, Minnesota. She is currently two over, as they play the second 18 of the 36-hole U.S. Women's Open qualifying. She is three shots now behind Joy Chow of Story City, Iowa. Joy, it looks like, is going to get in the clubhouse under par. She's through 16 holes at one under. So Emily's going to have to make some birdies coming in. But Gary and Chloe Chan, who is, going to be a senior, next year for the Badger women's golf team, she is also at two over. So they are part of a three player group chasing Joy Chow. Emily Lauterbach has really elevated her game, Gary, and I think, you know, what we're seeing here, I'd love to see a rally here, but boy, she's making hay. And when I looked last night, she will be in the field when they expand the number of golfers on the Epson Tour to 144 each week through the summer. She will be in the field first for the event in Battle Creek, Michigan. So we're not far off from seeing what Emily Lauterbach can do on that Epson Tour. She just hasn't gotten the chance because of where her status number is. And, I think she's close. And again, you've got to go back probably 10, 15 years at least to remember a time when we had this many men and women kind of knocking on that door for the LPGA and PGA tours.
Yeah, at least that long, Rob. And, you know, you just quoted the, or talked about their scores, and I forgot the women's open qualifying is just one final stage of 36 holes, right? I thought it was an 18 holes today, and they went on and played another round. So this is big. And Emily's a couple back with how many holes does she have to play as we record this?
She is through 11 holes at two over. Chloe Chan is through 10 holes at two over. And I've played Woodhill Country Club up in Wasada, Minnesota, home of the Heron family. And it's a very tight, old-fashioned country club course. And somewhat similar to maybe a Maple Bluff, a Milwaukee Country Club, or a Nakoma Golf Club. And so, you know, it's not unfamiliar territory. And unfortunately, though, only 31 golfers signed up for this. Actually, 33 signed up. 31 are still competing. Two dropped out after the morning round. As opposed to next week down in Chicago, where Izzy Stricker, McKenna Nelson, just a few of the golfers, the Haugen sisters, will be part of what looks to be about 45, maybe 50, as my eye looks at the tee sheet here, playing down at Briarwood Country Club next Monday in Deerfield, Illinois, trying to get through to the U.S. Women's Open. Of course, that'll be played in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and at the end of May into the first weekend of June. So we've got that coming up. Gary D'Amato, we also should mention, too, we've got some college golf going on here, NCAA Division II Regionals AJ Powell, who I wrote about this morning, out of UW Parkside, first golfer from Parkside to make it to an NCAA regional in the program's first year with women's golf. AJ shot 83 today, and she is currently T51 out of about 82 golfers down in Carmel, Indiana. So not a bad showing for her. And over in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, Augustana, South Dakota has Lainey Wienendahl in the lineup. And Lainey today shot 75. She's T10. Augustana fourth, I believe top three after 54 holes will go on to the national championship there. And the NSIC champion out of Baraboo, and that's Winona State's Carly Moon. And Carly today shot 78, and she is T19. While we have a few minutes, though, Gary, I wanted to wrap up the podcast. You've been not only going up to Madison and back today, but you just got back from a week in Branson, Missouri. We teased it last week. You know, we talked about some of our favorite destination courses, cities. All right. Expectations going in, expectations coming out, where they met.
They were exceeded, Rob, you know, and I'll be doing the travel story sometime in the next couple of weeks that we'll post on our site, in case there are Wisconsin golfers who are going to want to go check out Branson, but 10 courses in and around Branson. Some of the best par three holes you'll ever see, Rob. Mountaintop, designed by Gary Player, 13-hole par three course, and of course, Top of the Rock, designed by Jack Nicklaus, that used to have that Legends Tour, the Champions Tour, would go there and play that par three tournament. Spectacular par three holes. And then I got to play Payne's Valley, the new Tiger Woods designed course. Spectacular. The betting hole, the 19th hole. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it with the waterfall and the island green. It's really cool, Rob. Then you get in a cart and you ride up this zigzag cart path up to the top through these limestone rock formations, and there's waterfalls all around you. You even drive through some water at some point. Spectacular. I had a great time. Some really good golf courses.
As far as, you know, the amenities in the area, we know that, you know, for a long time, Branson was the home of the artists in residence in the country music genre. I think that they've kind of branched out a little bit from that even. But there's far more to do than just listen to music and play golf in Branson. It's a beautiful area, too.
It is. Beautiful area of the country. Very hilly. Some spectacular sights from the golf courses. But, yeah, you're right. I think there's 37 theaters, and someone told me they have more seats, more theater seats than Broadway. So a lot of 10 million visitors a year, Rob, to a town that has 15,000 residents, which just kind of blows. It's a little bit like Wisconsin Dell with, on steroids, with maybe a lot more to do, because there's all the family stuff that the Dells has, but then there's, more golf than the Dells has, and there is certainly more entertainment than the Dells has.
Well, kind of cool. Look forward to you writing about that, as we find out that, you know, people love being able to go places to play golf. I've talked to a lot of people who've come back from the Carolinas here this spring. Talked to a gentleman last week who went up to play up at St. George, Utah, and then on a guy's trip, and then made a quick trip over to Mesquite to play Wolf Creek Golf Club. Which is apparently got staggering elevation changes. So we'll look forward to that. I want to put a plug in, because on the Golf Channel here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the PGA Works Collegiate Championship. PGA Works is an initiative through the PGA of America to help build diversity in the game of golf. And they bring together college teams and individuals from all over the country for a championship here, kind of in between the end of the conference tournament season and the NCAA regionals. And this year it's down at TPC Sawgrass in Florida. And it's sponsored by, among others, Kohler Company. And they announced on the telecast that Whistling Straits next year will host this tournament, 2025 and 2029, Gary. They will be hosting the PGA Works Collegiate Championship. Pretty cool. Another feather in the cap for the state of Wisconsin. I tell you, as we keep moving these tournaments out, though, 2029, I'm starting to feel my mortality here. This is kind of a... I hate to do the math to find out how old I'm going to be when these events come to Wisconsin.
You know, also, Rob, there was a huge, right after I left Branson, the whole area was going to be inundated with a gigantic some insurance company was having a big tournament there, some kind of scramble that people qualified for. And I was told that, at, Ozarks National, the Core Carnesha course, they booked $300,000 worth of tee times. They were having double shotguns, like for 4 days in a row. And that tournament, I'm hearing, is going to Whistling Straits next year. So the Straits certainly is getting, some notoriety. Not that it hasn't already had a bunch over the years, but it's getting some big events. And we hope more major championships in the future.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, appreciate the time this week. That's all the time we have for Talking.Golf. And again, Talking.Golf is sponsored by the 2024 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Tournament week for the 2024 AmFam Championship kicks off June 1st with UW Carbone's Race for Research 5K run at the Thomas Zimmer Cross Country Course. That is followed by tournament play June 7th through the 9th right next door at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. The multi-Grammy award-winning band Train will headline the annual Friday night concert at Bree Stevens Field on June 7th. Tickets for the concert and the golf tournament are on sale now at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised over $17 million for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.